Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Our scripture lesson for today is John 1, verses 6 through 8. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're indeed grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. With all that is going on, not only in our personal lives, but what's going on in our collective lives, as well as in our society, it's a blessing. To be able to take time out of your life to enjoy wonderful singing this morning, a powerful prayer, and a beautiful story, a mission story about service, in the service of the Lord. And so we are indeed grateful to be in the house of the Lord on this Sunday. We would like to recognize the Deacon Dennis. Amen. Bless us with a call to worship on this Sunday, as well as the prayer that was rendered. This morning, we would like to simply talk about John the Witness. John the Witness. You do know that there is a dark side to the Christmas story. When the wise men saw the star in the east and began to travel to Jerusalem, they encountered Herod. Now, Herod was a mean one. Herod was really a heel. He was as cuddly as a cactus, as charming as an eel. Mr. Herod, you're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. When they get to Herod, Herod calls the chief priests together and has asked them, where is the Messiah to be born? What did prophecy say about this? And this is the evilness of Herod. He used prophecy to try to destroy the baby. Only two people in scripture have ever done that, to use the word of God evil, and that is Jezebel in the Old Testament, when she used the law to steal land for her husband, and now Herod, when he's using prophecy, to try to destroy the newborn king. Well, he tells them to go find him in Bethlehem and come back and tell him so that he can come and worship him. The wise men find him in Bethlehem, but by divine intervention, they're told to depart another way. We know how Jesus survived, how he escaped, because the scripture teaches us that an angel appeared unto Joseph in a dream, telling him to take the baby and Mary and escape into Egypt because Herod seeks to destroy the child. So the wise men, they avoid persecution by a divine intervention. And Jesus escapes Herod because of a dream that Joseph had. But the question that I have is, how did John survive? I mean, when the angel told Mary that she's going to be with child, he tells her, behold, Elizabeth, who is now 6 months pregnant. making John roughly about 6 months older than Jesus. When Herod found out that he had been deceived by the wise men, he ordered all of the 2-year-olds and younger male children in Bethlehem and the coast to be killed. Yes, yes, Herod was a real monster. His heart was an empty hole. His brain is full of spiders. He had garlic in his soul. Herod was so scared of losing his throne to another that not only did he have his own sons put to death, he even put their mother to death because he was tired of her having male children. So you can imagine when the news came to him that a Messiah was being born in Bethlehem, that he went on a murderous rant. And the question I have is, how did John survive? I mean, nobody thought about Elizabeth's miracle baby. I mean, it wasn't like he was born in Athens. He was born around Jerusalem. When the chief priests went and told Herod of the prophecy, did they not consider that Elizabeth, who had been barren, just had a miracle child in her old age? Did not consider that John could possibly be that one? How did John survive? Well, brothers and sisters, I have not a clue. All I do know, I don't know how he survived, but I do know who protected him. And when you are a witness for the Lord, I come by this morning to tell you that there is some witness protection. That God will look out for you. When you are a witness for the Lord will protect you. The reading this morning said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And when God sent you, God will protect you. When God is the one that is ordering your steps, I want you to know that God will be with you every step of the way. The scripture says that John was simply born to be a witness. Now that might not sound like much today, because all of us that have been born again have been born to be a witness. But John breaks 400 years of silence. That's like Ebenezer times 2 plus 100. I mean, it was 400 years of no prophets. That was 400 years of no fresh revelation. I mean, we take it for granted today because we can have a fresh revelation every day. Especially once a week, if we make our way to the house of the Lord, we can have a fresh revelation. But John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was a prophet born out of the wrong testament. He was an Old Testament prophet born in New Testament times. He was old school, born in a new school age. I mean, he was pencil and paper in a computerized age. He was a misfit in the time in which he was born, but yet the Lord protected him. Now, John was must hear. People scheduled their vacations to go hear John. You couldn't go to Jerusalem without going to go hear John. Every Jew went to go hear John preach. Not only did John have witness protection, but John also had witness impact. When you are a witness for the Lord, there is witness impact. When you witness for the Lord, you will make a difference. You may not see it. You may not notice it, but there is witness impact. When Jesus began his ministry, he had to start where John had let off. Jesus' first public message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he went to be baptized, John said, behold the Lamb of God. Listen, even in this passage, while John the apostle is writing the opening to his gospel, he has to stop in verse 6 and mention that there was a man by the name of John that was sent from God. The same came to be a witness. But John had to put this note talking about John the witness. He had to say, but he was not that light. In that time, John shined brighter than Jesus. I know it's hard to imagine, but God had blessed him that his job was to call people to Jesus. I'm glad. It's not my job to save anybody. It's not my job to die for anybody's sins. It's not my job to convert sinners into saints. I only got one job, and that job is to be a witness. John, his impact, not only was it in Jerusalem, but when the apostle Paul arrived in Ephesus, he could not get anything going. He was trying to get the Jews together to try to get them to meet at the synagogue so that he could preach unto them Jesus. But instead, there was a fellow named Apollos. Now, Apollos was charismatic. Apollos was an eloquent speaker. Apollos was a wordsmith. So much so that Paul could not even get a congregation together to come and hear him preach. He sent a deacon and his wife, Aquila and Priscilla, to go and listen to Apollos, and Apollos packed the house and preached to the people, and people got excited and was getting baptized because Apollos only knew the gospel of the baptism of John. They pulled Apollos to the side, upgrade his theology, and tells him that the one that John was talking about had came and had died. Apollos called the church, the synagogue, back together and preached a second time. And the second time he preached about Jesus. Listen. The impact of your witness will not just be in your life, will not just be in your sphere. When you are a witness unto the Lord, your impact will go out beyond your borders. It'll go beyond your own thinking. It'll go beyond whom you think you're trying to influence. John had witness protection. But John also had witness impact. When you are a witness for the Lord, when you are a witness unto the Lord, there is impact. Now, when John passed, Jesus had to deliver the eulogy. And it is contained in Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus preached John's eulogy, and the title of it was, None Greater. There was no prophet greater than John. But before Jesus concluded the message, he at the end by saying, nevertheless, he is the least of those born in the kingdom. In other words, no matter how great John was, he is not greater than we are. We will have a greater impact because we not only know that the Lamb of God have come, we know what the Lamb of God has done. We know what he have done. We know what he can do. We know what he will do. Our testimony is greater than that of John. See, we have impact because we can tell somebody that's down, he'll lift you up. We'll tell somebody that's sick that he can make you well. We can tell somebody that he can make a way out of no way. We can tell somebody that he can pick you up. He can turn you around. He can place your feet on solid ground. He can do things that no other power can do. When we have the witness, when we are a witness, and isn't it good news that we can replace the name of John and place your name there? You can be Nathan the witness, Barbara the witness, John the witness, David the witness, Abigail the witness. You can be that witness to have an impact in your life. Not in your immediate, but in your world. John was not that light. But he simply came to bear witness to that light. And so, brothers and sisters, on this fifth Sunday, Mission Sunday, I want to simply send you out and tell you to go and tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. But you don't have to stop there. You can go tell it that Jesus Christ lives. You can go and tell it that Jesus Christ reigns. You can go and tell it that on one Friday night he died on an old rugged cross. But early Sunday morning, he rose from the grave. Go tell it everywhere you go. Go tell of his goodness. Tell of his mercy. Tell of all that he has done for you. And brothers and sisters, I come by to tell you that there will be some protection. God will look out for you. God will cut for you. God will make a way for you. God will make an escape for you. But not only is there protection, there will also be impact. You'd be surprised. Your great-great-grandbaby be talking about you, how you held on to the faith. Somebody in Washington, D.C. might hear the word of Ebenezer Third Baptist, keeping the faith. We're living in a time where we all need to bear witness. And I come by this morning just simply to let you know that there is protection and there is impact. But we have a job to do, one job to do, and that is to bear witness. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. This time we want to extend the invitation, and maybe someone here today who don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. It starts there. You, yourself, and I have to accept him for yourself. May you come as the deacons and nurses make ready to receive you. You can come right now. Come as you are, come from where you are, but come right now. Ours to extend, it was yours to accept or reject. May God bless you on this day.